We bid you all welcome in the Saviour's name. It's good to see so many who have gathered with us on this, our special Christmas family night service. And to all who've come, and we know that there are some from far and near. And we have a number of the members of the congregation taking place tonight, and we have an instrumental group of our young people, and they're going to come and play for us. This day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. There we have summed up for us in that one text of Scripture the real purpose of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came into this world to be the Saviour, the one who is the Christ of God. And what a tremendous message we have to proclaim at this season of the year. The coming of the Saviour to be the sin bearer of the world. I'm going to ask the choir now, Hebron Choir, if they will come and minister to us in song, please.
From God's heaven to a manger, from great riches. Redeeming God. regularly on a Sunday night and you stayed after the meeting, you would find a group of young people from our youth fellowship, and they'd be at the piano and be singing together. And over this past number of weeks, we've heard them sing, and we have asked them to participate at the special meetings, and we're going to ask those young people, young men, young ladies, to come and minister in song just now. Thank you.
Who is he in yonder storm? At his feet the shepherds fall. 'Tis the Lord, a wondrous story. 'Tis the Lord, the King of glory. At his feet we humbly fall. Crying, crying, you Lord of all. Who is he to whom they bring all the sick and sorrowing? 'Tis the Lord, a wondrous story. 'Tis the Lord, the King of glory. At his feet we humbly fall. Crying, crying, Lord of all. Who is he in yonder tree, dies in grief and agony? 'Tis the Lord, a wondrous story. 'Tis the Lord, the King of glory. At his feet we humbly fall.
Thank you.
Thank you very much to the young people tonight for taking part, and we trust that those messages and song will be a blessing and a challenge to us all. As I thought about tonight, our family night service near Christmas, my mind and heart was drawn to a verse of Scripture in the New Testament, Romans chapter 10. I'm going to read the text only. It's verse 1. As Paul, the great apostle, the great preacher, missionary of the cross, expresses the deep longing of his heart concerning the people of Israel. Remember, he was the missionary to the Gentile world, but he never lost sight of his own people, and he had a desire to see them brought to the Lord. And this is what he says as he writes to the church at Rome, Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. This is our Christmas family night service, and we are delighted that you're here. And if you have come by way of special invitation from a family member, we're extra special glad to see you. We certainly are a family church with plenty to do for all ages, and that goes from the very small children who come to the mother and toddlers, right up through the children's work, the youth meetings that we have, right to the seniors. No one is left out. We are a family church, and we believe in the family because God believes in the family, and the Bible teaches so much about the family. And we like to see families together, and we value such times. It's just a pity that those times are usually weddings and funerals and births. But you know, Christmas time is a family time, and it gives us all that opportunity to be together, and especially in meetings like this at the house of God. As we think of our families, especially our children, I wonder what our greatest aspirations and expectations are for them. What do we count important for them in this life? What are the burdens and the desires of our hearts for them? What is it that we give our time and our energy and our advice to when it comes to our loved ones? It's a very searching question. And surely as we speak from the heart of God's people tonight, it is their salvation. The salvation of their souls is paramount. To see them brought to know Christ as their Savior. To see them rescued from sin and a lost eternity, and one day go home to be with the Lord in heaven. That's the longing of our heart. Our greatest concern, our deepest conviction as Christians, is summarized in the words of Paul in this verse of Scripture tonight in Romans 10 and 1. My heart's desire, my prayer to God for my family, let's put it personal, is that they might be saved. Generally, Paul is speaking about the nation of Israel. He's speaking about the Jewish people, his fellow countrymen. But specifically, no doubt he has his family members in view, those that he's related to. When you think of the previous chapter, the opening words where he talks about the great burden of his heart, speaking the truth as he says in verse 1 before God, he says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. And though in a general sense the nation of Israel is in view, yet in a special sense those closely related to Paul are in his mind. And that's how we feel when it comes to our children, when it comes to our spouses, our parents, our siblings, our other members of the family. The scripture tells us that we're to train up a child in the way that he should go. Not the way that he would go, because the way that he would go and the way that he should go are two different things. But we are to train them up in the way that they should go, and when they're old, the word of God tells us they'll not depart from it. We are to seek to bring them to God, into the saving knowledge with his Son, Jesus Christ. And as parents tonight, and I speak as one, we have that great burden of heart. We want family salvation, household salvation. The nobleman of John chapter 4, Lydia in Acts chapter 16, and the Philippian jailer in the same chapter, they all have this blessing that is a blessing above all other blessings as far as the family is concerned. And that was to see them all converted and brought to Christ. That's my burden. And I'm going to talk to you just for a little time tonight. I'm not going to preach long, but I'm going to talk to you about my burden, my heart's desire, my prayer unto God for my family. And it's here in what Paul has said, that they might be saved. I want to give you three reasons why that is so. First of all, it's my desire to see them brought to Christ, because nothing is more important. And it doesn't matter what else that we can think about tonight in life, and there's so many things that we put value upon, so many things that we count important. There's nothing more important than this, that our family members might be saved. It's not academic achievement. And many of our young people are doing well and have done well as far as education is concerned. We have a responsibility before God to study to show ourselves approved to him. And we are to give ourselves over to things that are academic as far as it lies within us, according to our ability. And that ability is going to vary from person to person. But all I believe that God is asking from us is to do our best. And yet when it comes to academic achievement, that is not the end all and the be all. That's not the number one priority. Nor is it a successful career. I think that every parent here tonight desires to see their children making success in this life. They want them to enter into a career that's going to be successful for them. But again, that's not the most important thing. It's not even job satisfaction. And it's good to be satisfied in the things that you do. It's an awful thing when you're waking up on a Monday morning and you have to say to yourself, one of the first things that you say, oh no, it's another Monday morning, I've got to go to work. It's good to be able to enjoy what you do. And to have satisfaction in it. And to be able to look forward to a Monday and go through the week enjoying your employment. But that's not always the case. But let me say, even though you get satisfaction in employment, it's not the chiefest concern. It's not financial gain. In fact, the Bible teaches us that the love of money is the root of all evil. And we know that any foolish hurts that the Bible speaks about, that money can bring into a family or bring to an individual. And to hanker after the wealth of this world is not really something that we ought to be taken up with. If God blesses us, and what we have in a terrible sense is a blessing from God, if he blesses us well and good, we ought to be satisfied with whatever state we find ourselves in. But having financial gain is certainly not a chief priority. It's not popularity and fame either. You know, there's many young people and they're striving after popularity. They want to be famous. Some are skilled in sport and they have their icons and they wish that they were like that person, maybe a famous footballer. And so they put all their time and their skill and their energy into becoming somebody that's famous as far as the sports world is concerned. But that's not the most important thing. It's not even safety in the roads and in the journeys that our families take. And every time my families go out, or my children go out, and some of them have passed their driving test and they're on the roads, we pray for them. We always say to them, one of the last things we say to them is, drive carefully. And you know why we say that. You listen to the news every week, and there's hardly a week that passes, but out there on the roads, there are serious accidents. Lives are claimed and taken. Young people go out into eternity. And we don't want our families to be numbered among them. And so we say, drive carefully. I just might say that I have a son in 4 months' time. He has it all counted. He's going to be 17. I want to give you due warning to keep off the roads whenever Andrew gets onto the roads, because it'll not be a safe place to be. But you know, even safety on the roads is not the chief priority. It's not even their health and their strength. And we pray that the Lord will be pleased to keep our children free from disease, and we want to see them going through life enjoying a good measure of health and strength. But my friends, that's not my chief concern. That's not the burden of my heart for my children, for my family. The most important matter is the salvation of their souls. What else really matters at the end of the day? When you think of time, and you think of eternity, and you draw the comparison or the contrast, that little space that we have here upon the earth, Moses described it in the 90th Psalm as 70 years and 10. 70 years, and if by reason of strength, maybe 80 years. But that's just a blink compared to the endless ages of eternity, the foreverness of after death. And when you compare the little day that God has given to us in this life, and you contrast it with the great eternity of God, you know there's nothing more important than to prepare our families for the hereafter, to make sure that they're right with God and that they're going to heaven. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You know, you can have all these things that I've mentioned, or some of them. You can have academic achievement. You can have a successful career. You can have job satisfaction, financial gain, popularity and fame. You can be kept safe as you travel through the country and enjoy a good measure of health and strength. Have all these blessings that we associate with this life. But if at the end of the day you're not saved, what really does it count for? My heart's desire, my prayer to God for my family is that they might be saved. Because you see, nothing is more important. Secondly, it's the longing of my heart that they be saved, because the alternative does not bear thinking about. What is the alternative to salvation? What is the alternative of going to heaven? Well, the Bible only speaks of one other place. The opposite to salvation is damnation. The opposite to heaven is hell. And the Bible tells us that sin is taking men downward to a lost eternity. The sentence has been passed. The verdict has been given. The judgment has been decreed by God Himself. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's what God's word teaches. And that death, by the way, is the second death, described by the Apostle John in Revelation chapter 20. Where he is taken in vision to behold the great white throne of judgment. And sitting upon that throne in dazzling splendor and majesty is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one that our young people were singing about tonight. The judge of all the earth, Jesus Christ. No longer the Savior, but now the judge. And the dead have been summoned to stand before this throne. And the sea have given up the dead, and the earth has given up the dead, and hell itself, Hades, has given up the dead, and all have come to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and the books are opened. And another book is opened, and the dead are judged according to their works. You know what the Bible tells us in that chapter of God's Word in Revelation 20, verses 14 and 15? Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And so when the word of God says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die, when God has made that decree, as far as the lost are concerned, we're speaking here about the second death. The Bible over and over again warns about this terrible place, a place of fire, unquenchable fire, a place of darkness, darkness forever in the great eternity, a place of torment, A place of unending doom and despair. A place where men cry out. You need to read Luke chapter 16 to see that to be so. The rich man in the depths of a lost hell, lifting up his voice, crying unto God by reason of the torment that he was in. And so as a parent tonight, I cannot bear to think that a family member, a child of my home, would ever be lost, would ever go down to this dreadful place that is called hell. In fact, for that very reason, whenever I got married, my wife and I prayed, Lord, give us no children. If one child should die and go to a lost eternity, for better having no children at all than to bring up a child that will be fuel for the fire, that will go out into the darkness of despair. Tell me, my friend, are you saved from such doom? Have you escaped the wrath to come? My heart's desire, my prayer to God for my family is that they might be saved, because the alternative does not bear thinking about. But there's a third reason. Let me give it to you. Not only because it's the most important thing, not only because the alternative does not bear thinking about, but thirdly, it's my longing, it's my desire of heart that they be saved, because I want to meet them at God's right hand. I love family reunions. I love to be with my family, and I'm sure I speak on behalf of most of you tonight. Christmas time is a family time. And one of the greatest things about Christmas for me is to have my family there, all gathered together. It has been a tradition in my family for many years, I'm speaking about the wider family, that just after Christmas we all get together, as many as it is possible to get together. And we like to do that because I like family reunions. And when it comes to my own family, we look forward to Christmas because that's a time when we can be together. It's a happy time. But sometimes our reunions are tinged with sadness, isn't that right? Because as the years pass by, there's absentees. And there's family members who used to gather with us at Christmas, and they're no longer there. They've been taken in death. They've gone out into eternity. But leaving that aside, it is still true that we love to be together. We love reunions. We love family times. Well, let me tell you that there is a greater reunion above in that place called heaven. There's a hymn that says, I shall rise to be with Jesus forever. I shall meet the ones who passed on before. We shall meet to part no more, never, never, when the day breaks o'er the hills. What lovely truths are expressed in that hymn. The day when the people of God shall rise to meet the Saviour. The day when we shall go to be with Him whom our soul loveth. To be in the very presence of Christ forevermore. But a day also of happy reunion with those that have gone on before. I have family members and I have friends in the glory tonight. And I'm sure that every family in this meeting tonight can say the same. And I'm looking forward to meeting them one day. I long for every family member to be assembled on that great day. I pray to this end. On that great day, when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, I want my family to be gathered there around the throne of God. What an awful thing if someone was to be missing on that day. If some member died without the Lord and was not prepared to meet God and had not Christ as their Redeemer, and they were absent on that great day and they were not with the family. There is a hymn that we sing that speaks about the loved ones in the glory whose dear forms we often miss. The hymn writer talked about seats being emptied and one by one our loved ones going away. And the great challenge for us all is in the question of the chorus. Will the circle be unbroken by and by, in a better home awaiting in the sky, in the sky? Will the circle be unbroken? Will every family member be accounted for? There is a better home to come. There is a better country that the Bible speaks about, a better experience, better than anything that we have here upon the earth, and that is heaven. I wonder, how do you stand as a family member tonight? Are you found in Christ? Are you ready for heaven? Have you got the experience of the new birth? Are you saved? Because I can speak for every Christian family tonight, because our heart's desire, our prayer unto God for you, is that you might be saved. And maybe there's somebody in this meeting tonight and you're breaking your parents' heart, because you're wandering in your sin and you're drifting away from God, and as yet you're not saved. You're outside the fold. It's an awful thing to have a divided family when it comes to the things of God. We read about a number of them in the Bible. I often think about Lot's family. Lot is described as being a righteous man. He knew the Lord, and yet we know the character of the other members of the family. Some that had a profession and there was nothing genuine there. They were never truly the Lord's people. Others who were outright wicked in the life that they lived and were destroyed in the city of Sodom when God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plain. And Lot had a divided family here upon the earth. Those that knew the Lord and those that didn't know the Lord. But more importantly and more sadly, he had a divided family in the great eternity of God. For whereas Lot is in heaven, he has family members that are lost forevermore. You could do nothing better at this Christmas time than to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're going to be receiving presents, no doubt, at Christmas. Eternal life is the greatest gift of God through Jesus Christ. Have you received this gift? Have you got eternal life tonight? My heart's desire, my prayer unto God for you, is that you might be saved. If you're not saved tonight, come to Christ. Believe in him. Receive the greatest gift of all, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You can receive that gift tonight in this meeting. I trust that you will.